The fourth commandment is in Exodus 20, verses 8, 9, 10, and 11. And it reads this way. By the way, you want this to go for... Oh, we don't have a class. I can take as much time as I want. Yeah. It reads this way in Exodus 20, verses 8, 9, 10, and 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. Now I want to underline that right there. The seventh day is the Sabbath. Everywhere in this book where it says Sabbath, it's referring to when it, weekly Sabbath. When it's referring to the weekly Sabbath, it's referring to the seventh day. So if anybody tries to convince you that Sunday is now the Sabbath, you say, no, And you bring them right to this verse and you say, the seventh day is the Sabbath. That spells it out right there. If they want to argue, let them argue with God at the white throne judgment just before he throws them in the lake. You like that, huh, Angela? Okay. In the Sabbath, you shall do no work. Your son is not to work, nor your daughter, nor the manservant, nor the maidservant, nor your cattle. That means you don't have the ox thrashing the grain. You don't have the mule plowing. Of course, I don't know how the mule is going to plow if you're not going to do any work. I guess you put him on autopilot or something. All right. Now the stranger that is within your gates. Now what that means is this. If you're going to have your house painted, and it's going to be painted by a professional painter, a company that you've hired, you can't let them paint your house on Saturday. You can't let them paint your house on the Sabbath. That's the stranger within your gates. And you can't let him work on the Sabbath. In 6 days, the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and everything that's in them. And he rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now, remember, up here I said that the seventh day is the Sabbath day, and he blessed the Sabbath day. Therefore, that's the same as saying he blessed the seventh day and hallowed it. What does that mean? It means he set it aside to be different from the other six. God kept the Sabbath. He was the very first one to keep the Sabbath. If anybody wants to tell you, hey, that's Jewish, then you ask them, and I've done this. Who was the first one to keep the Sabbath? And you know what they're going to tell you? Moses, Abraham, Adam. No, they don't even go back that far. They figured Moses was the first one. God was the first one that kept the Sabbath. It says so right here. He rested the seventh day. He was the first one. The first three commandments were don't commandments. Don't have any other gods. Don't make any images to bow down and worship. Don't use God's name in a trivial fashion. This is the first do commandment. Do keep the Sabbath. So if anybody wants to tell you that the Ten Commandments are just a list of don'ts, you say, there's one. And as well, I haven't got to them, won't get to them, but there's more. Honor your parents, that's a do, right? Okay. So, the first three were don'ts. This is the do commandment. Do keep the fourth commandment. It's telling you to do something. Now, to observe the chosen day of the week that is set aside for the purpose of rest, it's set aside as a change of pace from the other days of the week. God himself did that exactly. He spent 6 days creating all of creation, and then he rested on the seventh day. He didn't rest the first day, the second day. It doesn't say anything about rest during the first 6 days. He rested on the seventh day. That day was different from the other six. That's why it's hallowed, holy, and set aside. It's different. Now, the purpose of the Sabbath is to rest. How do we observe the Sabbath? Okay, let's take a look at that. We are instructed not only to rest, but we're also commanded to meet together to observe the Sabbath. Leviticus 23, verse 3 says this, 6 days shall work be done, But the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. A holy convocation is a meeting. A convocation is a meeting, a commanded meeting. A holy convocation is a convocation set aside for a unique purpose. And this unique purpose is the gathering together to offer thanks, to worship God, and to edify each other. For offering thanks and worship, Psalm 69:30 says, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. So you come together, you're commanded to come together on the Sabbath to sing God's praises and to worship God, to praise his name. Praise the name of God with song and magnify him with thanksgiving. It is a time not only of rest from the physical exertions of the day-to-day life during the work week. It is also a time for each member of the congregation to support and renew each other, to edify, to build up, to support, both mentally, physically, and spiritually. If any of you have had occasion through sickness or trips or, whatever, to miss two Sabbaths in a row, have you noticed a deterioration a little bit in your spiritual condition? I'm not talking about you turn to a life of crime. No, nothing that drastic. But there's something missing. You're beginning to feel, it's like going hungry. You miss two meals, you're hungry, right? You miss two Sabbaths, you're hungry. It's just a spiritual food instead of physical food. So the purpose of it is to give thanks, sing God's praises, worship him, study his word, and to edify, build up, support, and stimulate each other. And if you stay away too long, you miss that. Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25 says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, that's meeting on the Sabbath, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I'm not sure what day he's talking about approaching. It could be talking about the final day, the day of the Lord. But what the point I'm making here is that we are exhorted to come together with love and care and compassion for each other and be a help to each other, to support each other and to help each other with their problems, discuss your problems. Sometimes, you can't help anybody physically or financially, but if they can just sit in and talk to you about a problem, it takes some of the burden off of them. By sharing the burden with you, it takes it off of them. The Sabbath gives everyone the opportunity to study and develop the abilities that God has given them so that they can be a positive influence in the life of others. Ephesians in chapter 4, verses 11 and 12 says, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So he's given each and every one here a different talent that enables you to help somebody that needs that particular assistance in that particular category. Not everybody has all the talents. Of course not. You jump, leap tall buildings in a single bound. Right? Everybody here, and I'm talking to this crowd right here, right now, every one of you has some special ability. It may not be a big deal, but you've got something that you can offer. And it doesn't need to be offered every day. But every now and then, something's going to come along in your life, and the need for that particular talent is going to be there. And that's when you've got to be alert and ready to fill it. You've got to know what your ability is. You've got to be able, and how do you find that out? Well, you come to church. You come to church, you study God's word, you talk to other people, you find out what their problems is, problems are. I'm glad all my grammar teachers aren't here. but this is a school. This is a study hall. And this, you come here to learn more and to apply what you learn. And one of the things you learn is what you're able to do. And it gives you, sometimes in some scenarios, it gives you an opportunity to exercise and use what you have learned and what your ability is. And it's a good practice ground in here for you to go out later and confront the real hostile world out there. So you might say, this tans your hide so that it's thick enough to withstand the beating it's going to take out there. Observing the Sabbath to grow in kindness and helpfulness toward others is one of the positive reasons that God ordained this Sabbath. He could see ahead. He knew what kind of a world was coming. He knew what we were going to be in. And he gave us this training ground so that we can study, learn, and get ready. And it doesn't mean that everybody's supposed to rush out there and start preaching on a street corner. Just in your day-to-day life, you'll get the opportunity. Not every day, but eventually, maybe two or three times a week, you'll get the opportunity to use the abilities that God has given you. And here, you have the opportunity to practice, train, and sharpen those abilities. And then you go out there and you put them to use. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to help other people. If everybody in the world wanted to help other people, it sure would be a different world, wouldn't it? Be a much more pleasant place. Now, the last subject I want to touch on, and all of you know this, is the assault on the fourth commandment. No other commandment in the Ten has been disparaged as much as the fourth one has. Now, no one is going to preach that it's okay to murder, that it's okay to lie, it's okay to steal, it's okay to covet. Coveting is what leads to all the others. You covet his car, you steal his car. You cover his money, you steal his wallet. You covet his wife, you steal his wife and shoot him in the bargain. That's the root of all the others. And nobody's going to say that they're all right. It's all right to break them. Nope. But the fourth one? Oh, yeah, that one no longer applies. Well, the fourth commandment, the arguments against the fourth commandment rain down constantly from the most august religious leaders. I can't think of his name. He has that Baptist church in Atlanta, wears the glasses, he walks around with the Bible in his hand like this. Say it again?
Charles Stanley.
That's it, Charles Stanley. He's a good preacher. I enjoy listening to him. But he will sail you down the river on the Sabbath. That man does not think that the Sabbath applies any longer. I hope he gets to hear this. Because Jesus said, what did Jesus say? He's Lord of the Sabbath. Now, we've already established the Sabbath is the seventh day. There should be no more argument about that. And Jesus said he's Lord of the Sabbath. You can take Sabbath and seventh day and interchange them just like this. He's Lord of the Sabbath. He's Lord of the seventh day. Okay? In Matthew 12:8, Jesus' words, for the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath day. He said it himself. He's also the head of the church, Ephesians 5:23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. So here in Ephesians chapter 5, it says that he is the head of the church. In Matthew 12, it says he is Lord of the Sabbath. So, the CEO of a large corporation calls a board meeting. And he calls the board meeting for Wednesday afternoon. So everybody shows up Thursday afternoon. That corporation is not going to get a lot accomplished, are they? The CEO is sitting there in an empty boardroom, and the next day everybody shows up and the CEO's not there. He's out playing golf on Thursdays. All right. If Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath and he's head of the church and he calls a meeting on the Sabbath, the board, you, supposed to be there when he calls the meeting. Makes sense to me. Now, if that's not enough to convince Mr. Stanley, Paul told Timothy that every word of Scripture is from God. That's 2 Timothy 3:16. That says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. That certainly deals with the Sabbath keeping right there. For reproof. That deals with the Sunday keeping. For correction. That also deals with the Sunday keeping. For instruction in righteousness, that also deals with Sunday keeping. All right, so every word of Scripture comes from God. We've established that. Jesus was God. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we've established now that every word comes from God. Jesus was God, therefore, you know, like in geometry, therefore, if A equals C and B equals C, then A equals B. Therefore, every word of Scripture came from Jesus. Okay? Jesus said that his word would never pass away in Luke 21:33. It says, and these are Jesus' words, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Now, if anybody wants to check, look at the, it has not passed away yet. It's still out there. Therefore, we can assume from that physical proof that Jesus' words have not passed away. We also have established that the scripture that established the Sabbath came from Jesus. Therefore, the scriptures that established the Sabbath that came from Jesus have not passed away because the world's still there. The fourth commandment is established and ordained by scripture, which is his word. And whoever claims that the fourth commandment has been done away with, altered, modified, or any other change, is walking on very dangerous ground.